Surah An-Nas. In life, there are kings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all kings. And in life, there are people and things that are worshipped instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole object of a person's worship. And so no one should turn to these kings, no one should turn to any object of worship except Allah azza wa jal, and Allah teaches us this in Surah An-Nas.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
This surah was revealed with Surah Al-Falaq. So this is two of two. Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, they came together, and the person's protection comes with both of these surahs, as the Prophet ﷺ used to recite them together. And if someone's involved with doing their adhkar consistently, there comes a point where they realize that, you know, more and more that they're protected from these adhkar. And indeed, when the Prophet ﷺ said, for example, that if you say Bismillah, then the shaitan doesn't eat with you, or if you go into your home and the shaitan doesn't enter that, when people are possessed by devils or they have sihr or something like that, falls upon the most likely, they have no connection with remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all of these things were meant to protect the person, and if they're not doing it, that means they're living their life unprotected. And there's actually a hadith, one of the adhkar is that a person wakes up and they say, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i huwa samiul alim. That they should say it three times. And the narrator of the hadith, I believe it's in Sunan Abi Dawood, in which he narrated the hadith, and he said, if he says this, then no harm will come to him. The meaning of that dhikr is that in the name of Allah, Allah whom nothing happens in the heavens and the earth, nothing will bring any harm unless it's by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa as-sami' al-alim, and he is as-sami' the hearing, al-alim the all-knowing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no harm will harm the person if he says this. And the narrator of the hadith actually was paralyzed in his hand. So the narrator after him, his student who was listening to the hadith, he was staring at his hand. So this narrator was also in tune with his eye movements. He saw him looking at his hand and he said, I didn't lie against my father, and my father didn't lie against the Prophet ﷺ. Because he saw that the person said, like, look, how come you got paralyzed in your hand if you've been saying this dhikr your whole life? And he said, but what had happened is that on the day that this happened, like this paralyzation, I got very angry. Something had happened, I got angry, and so I left aside my adhkar for the day. Because of his anger, he didn't do his adhkar for that day, and so Allah, he said, Fasha Allah, so Allah willed that the qadr would like catch up to him on that day. And it would take, you know, take its nasib on him on that day. So it actually happened on the day where he had forgotten to say his adhkar. I remember when I was younger, I got into a car accident, and I had like a learning license. Like, you're allowed to drive, but when I was 15 years old, there has to be someone driving with you. And so I was coming from the masjid, and I said that our house isn't that far. So in my mind, I said to myself, it's not that far a drive, so I don't have to say the adhkar. Now I was going to start the subhanalladhi sakhara lana, the whole thing, but I said, let me just leave it aside. I'm driving, and then this kid comes out through a stop sign, slams into the car, and his head goes through the windshield. You know, not through it, but just, you know, destroyed the windshield with his head. And he's like 4 years old or something like that. It was the boy's fault, of course, but I said, it was, he went through the stop sign, but I got a ticket for driving without someone with me. But in the end of that, like, I realized, subhanAllah, that even you may think that, you know, you put your trust in yourself, and then the qadr may catch up to you in those moments. So make sure you do your adhkar inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also teaches us about the importance of dua and seeking help. Like we see in the surah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Say, I seek protection in the Lord of mankind. And so this is Allah Azza wa Jalla teaching us to make dua to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you'll notice that this surah is the last surah in the Qur'an, and the first surah in the Qur'an also taught us how to make dua. It taught us, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. It's words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us how to ask Him. And here in the end, the last surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And so it's something to think about, that the Qur'an, it began with teaching us how to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it ended with how to invoke Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we seek protection from the beginning to the end. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And it says there, the Lord. And I don't know, the Lord in English doesn't have the same meaning as Rabb in Arabic. In Arabic, the word Rabb carries the meaning of the one who created them, the one who brought them to life, and then the one who brought them out of nothing. And it's almost like, if you heard the word tarbiyah before, they'll say, oh, it's a tarbiyah camp, or something like that. The word tarbiyah comes from Rabb, and it means to upbring. It's to bring someone, to keep bringing them up, and nourishing them, and bringing them, Rabbin Nas. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for us, creates us, takes care of us. This is Rabbin Nas. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla sets the example forward in Surah Tur, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Which is, were they created from nothing, or did they create themselves? And these people, they know for sure that nothing comes from nothing. They agree with this, even though that they say that all humanity, the 6 billion airplanes flying in the World Trade Center, came from nothing. This is what they say. Even though they themselves will be the first one to disbelieve in this. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that beginning, the one who started off the creation. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. But that's not enough, that the person has to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He created them, then He's the one who's in charge. Not any person who can stand up and say that I'm the king of the people and I'm a godly person and everybody has to follow my way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik al-Nas and Ilah al-Nas. Malik al-Nas, because in this dunya, there are a lot of people who claim to be kings or are kings or were kings. There's lots of kings in the dunya. But the one day where there will be no one standing up and saying, oh, I'm a king too, will be Yawm al-Din, the day of repayment. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Maliki Yawm al-Din, the king on that day, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the sovereign. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this also shows the nobility of the human creation, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Rabbin Nas, the Lord of humanity. And like we said, when it's attached, the mudaf mudaf ilayh, for those who know the Arabic, if the words are attached, and actually in the Arabic, in English you can't attach them directly. So if you said Allah's messenger, you have to put an apostrophe S after Allah and His messenger. Or you say the messenger of Allah. You can't attach them together. In Arabic though, they become attached completely. Where it says, Rasulullah. It's together. And if you just said Rasulu, and you attach Rasulullah, to show that that's the nobility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he's called the Messenger of Allah. And this is also the nobility of the human creation, that Allah Azza wa Jalla would say, Rabbun Nas. Or Rabbun Nas in the Sunnah. And of the karama, or showing the nobility of the human creation, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. That indeed we granted nobility to the children of Adam. Of these things is number one, that He made the angels prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. Number two, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us all that's in the universe for our own benefit. So if there's animals outside or something like that, and a person can eat from those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created those things for our livelihood. Number three, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with a brain. Blessed us with a brain. And understanding. And number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets and messengers from amongst us. Which is the nobility of the human creation, that someone like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come from amongst us and from the prophets that came before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malik al-Nas, the king of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees amongst the people life and death. Allah azza wa jal decrees nobility and disgrace. As we see in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ, that say, O Allah, the king of all kings, that you give kingship to whoever you wish, and you pull it away from whoever you wish. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, and you grant nobility to whomever you wish. وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ, and you disgrace whomever you wish. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik al-Nas, and Allah azza wa jal gives people wealth and gives them poverty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the object of worship, ilah al-Nas, because these things lead naturally to a person recognizing that he must worship this Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he's recognized that this is the Lord that created them, which they don't deny, like I said, they'll admit a higher being, and they'll admit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the kingship, but then they must go on to ayah 3, is ilah al-Nas, that he is the object of worship of humanity and nothing else, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah azza wa jal is teaching us that we have to seek protection and seek the assistance of the one who has these characteristics himself, azza wa jal. There was a sheikh in Medina, Sheikh al-Shanqiti, for those who know, he was mentioning a story about himself and a relative of his. And that relative had lost his job, and he was just having a hard time in his job, and he wanted the sheikh to try to get him, like they say, vitamin W, vitamin wasita. Wasita means like the middleman, right? If you've been inside Arabia, you know what wasita is. It's the middleman to try to get you up the ladder. And so he said to the sheikh, you know, do you know anybody that can help me out? And then the sheikh said, I know someone that can get you right to the top. And he's like, tell me please, you know, talk to him for me. And so on. And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that person, he told them like that. And the Shaykh said to him, ittaqillah. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I told you any human being, you would have been so happy. But the fact that I said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you became like this. And so the Shaykh has mentioned that the person, he actually went out in the car and he had said he had, you know, done istighfar, asked Allah to forgive him. And then he turned back and he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, as he was driving, he saw one of like some government building and stuff. He said, let me just go in and put in my resume. He went inside and then they said, oh, we've been looking for someone like you. They took him immediately to the top level and they gave him the job right then and there. He hadn't even gone all the way home. That he had switched jobs, a higher position with less work and more money because he had placed his trust and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's interesting is when some people, they leave aside Jum'ah, like they say, I'm going to lose my job. Right? And sometimes they might lose their job, and you'll see someone who leaves it, they may be blessed with something like a bigger job with more money. And we know many stories of that. And there's a brother that speaks to me, Tikli, and he said that he was involved in the car industry, and he said, wallahi, it's all interest, back and forth, hours. Testifying to the riba every single day when they say 0.9% financing. Alright, the 0.9 is hellfire. And this guy was signing it. And he was the manager of the job, and he's like, my mother's telling me, you know, keep going, you're doing good, he's making a lot of money. And he said, so I quit for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I just quit. He said, I didn't even have a job waiting. He said, I couldn't take this job anymore. And I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me something better. So he went into the all-wonderful computer industry. Alhamdulillah, he started his own company. And he said, you know, he's planning to retire in a few years. And he's like 30 years old. And because of all the money that he made. Maybe 10 times as much money that he made when he had switched jobs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-waswas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those are characteristics in the first three verses. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min sharril, from the evil of, al-waswas is the whisperer, al-khannas, who recedes, or it says there in the translation, who withdraws. Alladhi, the one who, yuwaswisu, whispers, fi sudur al-nas, in the chests of the people, fi sudur al-nas, min al-jinnah, from the jinns, one nas, and from mankind, and from men. Waswas, in verse 4, is the whisper, softly spoken words. And the waswas, you may not have recognized it, but it's happened to all of us, right? If you've ever heard your alarm clock for Fajr time, and some voice tells you that you'll wake up in 10 minutes, right? Don't worry, just hit the snooze button, you'll be awake. That is al-waswas. It's there, right? Or if someone says like, look, the speech is going to start at 45, let's just go get a Coke and come back. Right, and he says, sure, I won't miss that much. While they're out there, and then, you know, they get lost in the path, and they meet a friend, and then those are waswas. And shaitan, he'll never tell you, go to the bar and drink alcohol. For some people, he'll do that, and they'll, you know, they'll listen. But a lot of people, it's always a ladder, and it's footsteps that takes a person from one step to the other, to the other. And the main thing is that, and I'll give you an example, if someone doesn't have TV in their house, for example, shaitan will always tell them, look, you gotta get the jazeera. You know, they're talking about the situation of the Muslims, get the TV and the satellite dish to watch jazeera. And you're like, yeah, I gotta watch jazeera and stuff. So you get in, you know, DirecTV and everything, and the big, huge monster TV to watch jazeera. So you're watching, you're crying, yeah, the Muslims. And then, you know, there's nothing on jazeera, like it has some bad program or whatnot. You're like, oh, I'm bored. And you're like looking left and right, and this huge TV's waiting in front of you. And the jazeera comes with a few other channels, you know. Oh, there's Qaradawi on this channel, and you start switching. And then slowly, slowly, you'll see people, they digress into full out 130 channels of pure television. As one of the shuyukh said, he said, O ye who bought the TV to follow the affairs of the Muslims, where are you? You know, there are armies of people like that. But what are they doing? They're just watching the football game after that. And they're just caught into, and it's like, subhanAllah, it's like a vortex or a black hole that sucks the person in. If you know there was like these minarap tapes, and actually, you know, my theory is that the ladder goes both ways. It can either wean someone off, or it can push them into it. So for example, if a Muslim only listens to Quran, and then all of a sudden he starts listening to minarap tapes, and he might actually start listening to music after that. Right? And which is the TV. Someone may not have a TV. They watch Jazeera, Islamic channel, and then they go into the bad thing. Or a person could be involved in all this music, all this haram television, and then there's an Islamic channel, and then they watch that for a little while, and then they realize, you know, they did tawbah, and then they get rid of the TV. Right? It goes backwards. And I remember a brother, he said, you know, those the minarets. And I said this because we were involved in those things when we were younger. He said it was so horrible that I stopped listening to music completely after that. Right, but so it has some benefit to it, right? But the fear is that perhaps that it might do the opposite to people, that it'll push them into listening to better music or not. Al-waswas, he whispers, the shaitan whispers. Al-khannas is to withdraw, is to pull back. And this is the characteristics of the shaitan. How does he withdraw? He withdraws and pulls back when a person says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. In fact, there's a hadith where a person shouldn't curse the shaitan. They shouldn't say like, damn the shaitan, and start saying bad words against the shaitan. Because that, in fact, it doesn't have the effect. Because the person's placing their trust in themselves when they do that. They think they're so powerful, they can curse the shaitan, but rather they should seek protection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the power comes from Allah, so they should say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. They should say, I seek protection in Allah from shaitan the outcast. And then he recedes. So when you hear that waswas, as soon as you hear the hit the 10 minute, an extra 10 minutes for Fajr, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And the whispers will recede. And if they don't recede, say it again. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Until it comes sincerely from your heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from that waswas. And when you get a moment, maybe not right now, but later on inshaAllah, write down things in your life that are considered waswas. And recognize that this is shaitan that's telling you these things. And I gave the example of just something as simple as, give me an extra 10 minutes, which actually leads a person to missing Fajr, and there are many other aspects of that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, min al-jinnati wal-nas, that from the alladhi yuwaswis, this whispering in the chest of the people, and it comes without sound, and it's a person, and when I say it, everybody will not disagree. They'll not say, no, I haven't heard those waswas. Everybody has heard them. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ, that the shaitan does whisper to the people. And this whispering doesn't necessarily only come from jinns or devils, but it comes from human beings also. So they'll just be public people. And when you see like these artists on, they call them artists, but basically they're shayateen that come on the television set, and they bring out fashions, or they bring out ways of speaking and ways of acting, they are the evilest of the shayateen. Because they're teaching and whispering this to people. Subliminal messages that all come out. So much so that a Muslim, after a while, they won't recognize. And their heart becomes closed. They won't recognize this evil. That they should be actually lowering their gaze from the TV. If you see a TV set, you should be lowering your gaze. You know, and averting your gaze when you see it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. And lower your gaze. Because we take it for granted. There's a woman on the TV set. Even something as the news and someone staring directly at her for that, you know, length of time, 1 hour, and we don't think twice about it. This is the TV that tricks us into this. Min al-jinnati wal-nas, and that's also about peer pressure, about friends that take people, or if a person considers friends, people that are near to them, and then they draw them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they say, one person says, let's go to the masjid to pray, this other one says, no, we'll be late for the movie, let's go to the movie instead and pray outside the movie theater, for example. And pulling them away slowly like that, that would be a human devil who pulls someone away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have people like that in your life, distance yourself from those people. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. If we have some of those characteristics, we should try our best to get rid of those characteristics of pushing other people away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.